Okay, so ready to dive into something that might just make you rethink how we think about legal battles. Streamlined arbitration. Ever feel like legal battles just drag on forever? What if I told you there's a way to wrap up even like a super complex business dispute in a single day? Decision a week later?
Well, it's not science fiction.
Right?
It's a growing trend.
Yeah.
And we're going to unpack how it works using this article by John Shope, who is an experienced arbitrator who's actually used this method in real cases. He even breaks down this multi-million dollar dispute he handled, all wrapped up in record time.
So we're not just talking theory here. We're getting into the nitty-gritty of how this actually plays out.
Right.
What struck me right off the bat was Shope's emphasis on speed. I mean, court proceedings, especially with all the pandemic backlogs,
Oh, yeah.
can feel like being stuck in quicksand.
Exactly. And even before the pandemic, Shope points out that commercial arbitration cases were already moving twice as fast as similar cases in federal court. Add in the current backlog, and it's not even a contest anymore.
Right. It's like choosing teleportation over a horse and buggy. But here's where it gets really interesting. Shope was initially skeptical of these super rigid arbitration clauses you sometimes get.
Right. He wasn't a fan of those clauses that try to dictate every little detail up front, like limiting discovery or setting strict hearing day limits.
Yeah.
He preferred a more adaptable approach
Right.
where the process could be tailored to fit the specific case.
Makes sense, right? You wouldn't wear the same shoes for hiking and ballroom dancing. Shope even tells the story about a clause that demanded full discovery in a single month. He said it was practically impossible.
Yeah, it highlights a crucial point. When drafting these clauses, it's not just about speed, it's about finding that balance that ensures a fair and thorough process.
So what shifted Shope's thinking? Was it a specific case that made him see things differently?
Yeah, he had to handle this contract dispute with some pretty strict parameters. The clause mandated using JAMA streamlined rules, capped the hearing at one day, and required a decision within 7 days.
Wow, a one-day hearing for a complicated contract dispute. Talk about pressure. What were the stakes in this case?
This was a substantial dispute. It spanned several years and involved a present value in the eight figures.
Okay.
So,
Yeah.
we're not talking about a small claims case here.
Yeah.
Initially, Shope himself had reservations, and even the other arbitrator, a retired judge, seemed hesitant about the tight deadline for the award.
But they made it work. Shope was clearly impressed by how smoothly and efficiently everything went.
He was, and I think what's fascinating here is that it challenges our assumptions about legal proceedings. We tend to think they have to be these drawn-out affairs,
Right.
but this case shows that you can have both speed and thoroughness.
Okay, so let's get into the nuts and bolts. How did they manage to squeeze all of that into a single day? It sounds almost impossible.
Well, they used some clever strategies. For instance, a lot of the testimony was pre-filed, meaning witnesses submitted their statements in writing ahead of time.
Okay.
They also submitted over 200 exhibits beforehand.
So it's all about front-loading the work. Everyone comes in prepared and you avoid wasting time during the hearing itself.
Exactly. It's like having all your ingredients prepped and measured before you start cooking. It makes the whole process much smoother and more efficient.
I gotta ask, how did they keep things on track during the hearing? Was there a lot of rushing or cutting people off?
Not at all. The arbitrator used a chess clock system to manage time.
A chess clock. That's brilliant. It's like a visual reminder that time is ticking. It keeps everyone on their toes.
It does, and both parties were incredibly prepared.
Yeah.
They had clearly anticipated potential weaknesses in their arguments and addressed them up front in their written testimony. This meant they could focus their cross-examinations on the most critical issues. Shope even decided to skip cross-examining two witnesses altogether.
I like that it shows they were really thinking strategically about how to use their time most effectively. Did Shope mention what the atmosphere was like? Was it super tense?
Surprisingly, no. He describes it as focused and efficient, but not overly adversarial. Everyone was there to get to the heart of the matter and reach a resolution as quickly as possible.
So it sounds like streamlined arbitration encourages a more collaborative approach, which I find really interesting.
I think you're right. The time constraints force everyone to be more direct and to the point, which can actually lead to a more productive and less combative environment.
It's like that saying, necessity is the mother of invention. By limiting time, you force people to be more creative and efficient in how they present their case.
Exactly. And despite the tight time frame, Shope emphasizes that the final award was as comprehensive and well-reasoned as any he had seen in a more traditional setting.
So it wasn't about sacrificing quality for speed.
Right.
They managed to achieve both. This case seems to have been a real turning point for Shope, showing him that streamlined arbitration can actually work, even in complex cases.
It definitely challenged his initial skepticism. He went from doubting the effectiveness of predetermined procedures to recognizing their potential for delivering quick and substantive results without compromising fairness.
So given this experience, what are some of Shope's key recommendations for someone wanting to incorporate streamlined arbitration into their contracts?
Well, first off, he stresses the importance of choosing the right set of rules. He specifically mentions the JMS streamlined rules, AAA's expedited rules, or CPR's fast-track administered arbitration rules as solid options for achieving a speedy resolution.
Okay, so those are the go-to choices for anyone looking to streamline their arbitration process. But what about those terms? They sound a bit like alphabet soup to someone who's not a legal expert. Can you break down what they mean and what the differences are?
Sure. JMS, AAA, and CPR are all major arbitration organizations.
Yep.
And they each have their own sets of rules. JMS is known for being more flexible, which is great if you anticipate needing to adjust deadlines or procedures as the case evolves.
Okay.
AAA, on the other hand, tends to be more strict about timelines, which can be great for keeping things moving, but might feel rushed in some cases.
Yeah.
CPR falls somewhere in between.
Okay.
Offering a streamlined process, but with some built-in flexibility.
So it's like choosing between different levels of difficulty in a video game.
Exactly.
You pick the one that's right for your needs and your comfort level.
And Shope's point is that you don't just blindly choose a set of rules.
Right.
You need to understand their nuances and how they might play out in your specific situation.
So choosing the right set of rules is step one. What else does Shope recommend for making streamlined arbitration work?
His next recommendation is to set clear time limits for hearings. But he also acknowledges that practical solutions, like the ones they used in his case study, can make these limits manageable.
It's like setting ambitious goals, but also having a realistic plan to achieve them. You want to aim for speed, but not at the expense of fairness or thoroughness. What about discovery? Didn't we talk about how that can be a major time suck in legal proceedings?
Absolutely. And Shope emphasizes the importance of minimizing reliance on third-party discovery, which would often bog things down.
Yeah.
Especially if you're aiming for a one-day hearing.
Right. I can see how trying to squeeze in depositions and document requests would be a nightmare in that scenario. So focus on what you can control and what's absolutely essential.
Exactly. He also raises a crucial point about considering the stakes involved. While streamlined arbitration might be perfect for smaller disputes, cases with significantly larger sums at play might require a more in-depth approach.
It's like choosing the right tool for the job. You wouldn't use a hammer to fix a watch.
Right. And finally, Shope stresses the importance of picking a skilled and experienced arbitrator, especially when opting for a faster process.
You need someone who can keep things moving efficiently without cutting corners on fairness or due process. Someone who understands the nuances of streamlined arbitration and can make it work.
Exactly. It's like choosing a guide for a challenging hike. You want someone who knows the terrain, can anticipate potential obstacles, and can help you reach your destination safely and efficiently.
Okay, so we've got choosing the right rules, setting realistic time limits, minimizing reliance on third-party discovery, considering the stakes involved, and selecting a skilled arbitrator. Any other pearls of wisdom from Shope before we move on?
He does have a few additional insights that I think are worth exploring.
Okay.
These are kind of like bonus tips for those who really want to master the art of streamlined arbitration.
Oh, I love bonus tips. Let's hear them. What else does Shope suggest?
Well, one of the most interesting things he brought up is this idea of including off-ramps in the arbitration clause.
Mm-hmm.
Think of them like emergency exits.
Okay, so even though you're aiming for a streamlined process,
right,
you're building in some flexibility just in case things get too complicated or the expedited route turns out to be a bad fit.
Exactly. Shope gives a few examples. Like, if both parties agree, they need to move away from the expedited rules, or if the initial claim, like, balloons way beyond what was expected. And it's not just a theoretical concept. Some arbitration rules, like those from the AAA, already have provisions for the arbitrator to add a second hearing day if it's truly needed.
So it's like having a safety net.
Right.
You know, yeah. You can always switch gears if you absolutely have to. That makes me feel better, honestly. I was starting to think streamlined arbitration was a bit like jumping onto a high-speed train and hoping for the best.
It's not quite that extreme. The JAMA streamlined rules, for example, give the arbitrator quite a bit of leeway to extend deadlines when necessary.
Okay.
The only deadline they can't touch is the one for issuing the final award after the hearing. Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
You want to keep that momentum going once the hearing wraps up.
Oh, absolutely. Dragging out the decision-making process after a hearing would defeat the whole purpose of streamlining things. Speaking of incentives, earlier we touched on the idea of mandatory attorney fee shifting.
Right.
It sounds like a clever way to discourage parties from deliberately stalling or creating unnecessary delays.
It is. By including a clause that says the loser has to cover the winner's legal fees.
Okay.
You're basically saying, hey, let's play fair and get this resolved quickly. Dragging things out will only cost you more in the end.
It's like putting a price tag on inefficiency.
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense in the business world. But I do wonder, isn't there a risk that this could put smaller businesses at a disadvantage?
Right.
What if they're going up against a huge corporation with deep pockets?
Yeah.
Couldn't that make them hesitant to even pursue a claim?
That's a valid concern. And it's definitely something to consider when drafting these clauses. There might be situations where mandatory fee shifting isn't appropriate, and you might opt for a different approach. The key is to think carefully about the potential impact and whether it aligns with your overall goals for the arbitration process.
So it's all about finding the right balance for the specific situation. There's no one-size-fits-all solution. Now, I want to shift gears a bit and dive deeper into the practical side of streamlined arbitration. Shoup's case study, where they resolved that complex dispute in just one day, is a perfect example. Can you walk us through some of the key strategies they used to make that happen?
Absolutely. They were incredibly strategic and efficient. One of the key things they did was rely heavily on pre-filed direct testimony. Basically, this means witnesses submitted their written statements in advance,
okay,
which allowed everyone to review the evidence beforehand.
It's like sending out the meeting agenda and pre-reading materials in advance. Everyone comes prepared.
Exactly.
And you can jump right into the important discussions.
Exactly. And on top of that, they submitted over 200 exhibits beforehand. So all the documentary evidence was organized and readily available.
No more fumbling through folders or waiting for someone to find the right document. It's like having a well-organized toolbox where every tool is right where it needs to be.
That's a great analogy. And remember that chess clock system we talked about?
Oh, right.
Well, they use that during the hearing to keep everyone on track.
It's like a friendly reminder that time is precious.
Yeah.
Don't waste it.
Exactly. And you know what else impressed me? Both parties were so well prepared. They had obviously thought through their arguments, anticipated potential weaknesses, and addressed them up front in their written testimony.
So less time wasted on back and forth or trying to trip each other up on minor points.
Exactly. They were laser focused on the most critical issues. Shope even decided to skip cross-examining two witnesses entirely.
Wow, that's bold. He must have felt very confident in his case and his ability to make his points during closing arguments.
He did, and it paid off. Despite having just one day, Shope emphasizes that the hearing never felt rushed. They were able to delve into the key issues and present their arguments effectively.
It's amazing how constraints can sometimes lead to greater clarity and efficiency. It's like writing a haiku. You have to choose your words carefully and make every syllable count.
That's a great way to put it. And here's the kicker. Even with the time constraints, Shope was adamant that the final award was just as thorough and well-reasoned as any he'd seen in a more traditional setting.
So it wasn't just about speed. It was about achieving a genuinely fair and just outcome.
Right.
This case really highlights the potential of streamlined arbitration. It's like finding a shortcut through a maze, but without sacrificing the end goal.
Exactly. It's not about cutting corners. It's about finding a more efficient path to the same destination.
Okay, so we've seen how streamlined arbitration works in practice. We've heard Shope's recommendations, and we've even explored some of the potential benefits. But before we wrap things up, I think it's important to acknowledge that any approach has its limitations. What are some of the potential downsides or concerns people might have about streamlined arbitration?
That's a great question, and it's important to be aware of the potential drawbacks. One of the main concerns is that the expedited time frame might not be suitable for every dispute. If a case involves a lot of complex evidence, numerous witnesses, or requires extensive discovery, trying to cram it all into a single day could feel rushed and potentially lead to an unfair outcome.
That's not a magic bullet.
Right.
And it's crucial to assess whether a case is truly a good fit for this approach.
Exactly. Another concern is that streamlined arbitration might inadvertently favor parties with more resources. If one side has a team of lawyers and experts ready to go, while the other side is struggling to keep up, the expedited process could exacerbate that imbalance.
It's like entering a marathon when you've only trained for a sprint. You might be able to keep up for a while, but eventually you'll hit a wall.
That's a good way to put it. It's important to ensure that both sides have a fair chance to present their case, even within a condensed time frame. This might involve adjusting deadlines, allowing for a limited additional discovery, or simply being mindful of the power dynamics at play.
So awareness and flexibility are key. You need to be realistic about the limitations of streamlined arbitration and be willing to adapt the process when necessary to ensure fairness.
Precisely. It's not about rigidly sticking to the rules. It's about using them as a framework to achieve a just and efficient resolution.
Okay, so we've covered the potential benefits and drawbacks of streamlined arbitration. But I'm curious, do you think this approach could potentially be applied beyond business disputes? Could we streamline conflict resolution in other areas of life, like family law, for example?
That's a really interesting question. I think there's definitely potential there. Many of the principles that make streamlined arbitration effective, setting clear timeframes, limiting discovery, having a skilled neutral party to guide the process, could be adapted to other contexts.
Imagine if we could resolve custody disputes, divorce proceedings, or even inheritance battles more quickly and efficiently. It would save people so much time, money, and emotional stress.
Absolutely. Of course, these are complex areas with their own unique challenges, and it wouldn't be a simple matter of copy-pasting the streamlined arbitration model. But I do think there's room for innovation and exploring how we can make conflict resolution in these areas less adversarial and more focused on finding solutions.
It's an exciting thought. I'm already imagining a future where legal battles are no longer these drawn-out, soul-crushing affairs, but something more akin to a well-choreographed dance, where both parties can move swiftly and gracefully towards a resolution.
I love that analogy. And I think that's a great place to leave our listeners with a thought to ponder. Could streamlined arbitration be a blueprint for a more efficient and humane approach to resolving conflicts, not just in the business world, but in all aspects of life?
It's a thought-provoking question, and I have a feeling we'll be revisiting this topic again in future episodes. But for now, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating world of streamlined arbitration. Until next time, keep exploring, keep challenging assumptions, and keep diving deep into the ideas that shape our world.
Welcome back. You know what really excites me about this whole concept is the potential for it to extend beyond just business disputes. Before we went to a break, we were starting to imagine what it would look like to apply these principles to other areas of life,
mm-hmm.
like family law or even just neighborhood disagreements.
Right.
You know,
it's a really tantalizing idea.
Right.
Imagine a world where divorces could be settled quickly and fairly, where custody battles wouldn't drag on for years.
Right.
Where feuding neighbors could find common ground without resorting to lawsuits. Right. It almost sounds too good to be true. But what if we could take, like, those core elements of streamlined arbitration, the clear time frames, the focused discovery, the skilled neutral party, and adapt them to those other contexts?
I think it's worth exploring.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, it wouldn't be a simple cut and paste job.
Right.
Each area has its own unique complexities and sensitivities.
Yeah.
But those underlying principles
yeah.
of efficiency, fairness, and, like, finding solutions over simply winning those are universal.
Right. It's not about sacrificing thoroughness or due process.
Yeah.
It's about streamlining the path to resolution.
Yeah.
It's like taking a scenic route, but in a much faster car.
Right.
You still get to enjoy the view, but you get to your destination much quicker.
That's a great way to put it. And I think one of the key takeaways from our deep dive today is that streamlined arbitration challenges the traditional assumptions about conflict resolution.
Yeah.
It shows us that there are alternative ways to approach these situations, ways that can be both efficient and effective.
I think for me, one of the biggest aha moments was realizing that setting limitations can actually be a good thing.
Mm.
It forces everyone to be more focused, more strategic,
right,
and ultimately more productive.
I completely agree. It's like that old saying, necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah.
When you're faced with constraints, you have to get creative and find ways to work smarter, not harder.
Exactly. And I think that applies not just to legal battles, but to so many areas of life. Sometimes
yeah.
those self-imposed or external limitations can be the catalyst for real innovation and progress.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into streamlined arbitration, I want to leave our listeners with a question to ponder. What if this approach isn't just a niche trend in the business world, but a glimpse into a future where conflict resolution is more streamlined, more efficient, and ultimately more humane across all aspects of society?
It's a thought-provoking question, and I have a feeling we'll be revisiting this topic again in future episodes. But for now, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating world of streamlined arbitration. Until next time, keep exploring, keep challenging assumptions, and keep diving deep into the ideas that shape our world.